Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities with Lori Peterson and Abby Weinstein. Lori and Abby spend their days talking about dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and ADHD. They talk to parents of struggling students and adults who have had a lifetime of academic challenges. They want to share those stories along with their own insights with you. So, let's talk learning disabilities.
Welcome to episode number 26 of Let's Talk Learning Disabilities. This is Lori.
And this is Abby.
And we are so excited you're here today. We have an amazing guest. Abby, tell us a little bit about who we're talking to today.
Today we have Cheryl Sussman, who is an ADHD coach, as well as a coach of many other different types of areas that we're going to get into. But she is a coach, and we are excited to talk to her about how she can help individuals with ADHD, what coaching looks like, what is coaching. So welcome, Cheryl. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be talking to you. Thanks for this opportunity.
Absolutely. You know, Abby and I talk a lot about coaching. We are humongous believers in coaching. We both have worked on and off with a coach, so we can definitely see the benefits. But we're always fascinated by how many people have no idea that this even exists. And so I guess if you can just start out today by telling us a little bit about yourself and really how did you end up as an ADHD coach?
Sure. I'd be happy to. So I help parents and adults living with ADHD live more satisfying and effective lives so they can have more calm and confidence and less stress. And it's funny how you asked me how I got into coaching, because I find that many of us coaches have a story to tell. We come from so many various backgrounds. I have over 25 years of experience working with individuals with ADHD and learning challenges. And I've always had an interest in folks who have different brains and who process differently. I'm also the mom of three amazing grown kids with a combination of ADHD and learning challenges and executive functioning challenges. And my wonderful husband discovered some ADHD along our journey. And we've been so fortunate to have some excellent people in our lives to support us along the way, particularly a psychiatrist who taught us a lot. And he once said to us, "You really parent, but sometimes it's not always so great to really parent. And how far do you go as your child is entering adulthood?" So it can be a struggle to know how to draw that line. And even with my background in special education as an educational therapist, I felt fortunate to be able to advocate for my kids and their needs in the school. But as a parent, I was stressed and frustrated and overwhelmed. And as my kids were entering adulthood, I saw that there was a whole lot more support that adults with these challenges could benefit from. So I wanted to work with other parents and adults who were facing what I experienced with my own family. But I wasn't really sure how to get there. I didn't know that there even was such a thing as coaching until I was talking with someone. I was trying to figure this out. And that person turned out to be a really good friend and colleague. And I was talking with her, and she was asking me the most amazing questions. And I was incredibly intrigued with her about these really powerful questions. And I asked her, "Wow, these questions are amazing. How did you learn to do this? I mean, I love these questions. They really made me think." And she said, "I'm a coach." And I said, "What's a coach?" And she told me all about coaching. And that's really what these questions do for people. They help them shift their perspective on things so that they can have more awareness, and that awareness brings people to action. So when she told me about coaching, I did a lot of research and I found out that there was such a thing as ADHD coaching, where I could bring my expertise in learning disabilities and ADHD and learn how to map parenting skills onto coaching. And I was hooked from there.
That is awesome.
That is awesome. Yeah. That's really cool that it was those profound questions that made you think deeply about yourself that kind of brought you to that. What do you do? What is coaching?
And that's so funny, because when people say, "Oh, I'm a coach," I'm always like, "Well, like a volleyball coach?"
Right. I mean, like, we think of it related to sports typically.
But I do think that, and we're definitely going to get into exactly what that means and what kind of coaching you do. But, you know, when you think about even a sports coach, what they help you do, they help you get better at your craft or at your skill. And mm-hmm. so that's really what those of us with ADHD are desperate for, is how do I work more effectively and more efficiently? So tell us a little bit about the types of coaching that you do, because you know, ADHD coaching is a broad spectrum, but you also have some very distinct specializations.
Yeah, sure. So, and just mentioning that I do ADHD coaching, like adult ADHD coaching, but they also, the different kinds of coaching that I'll talk about, they also overlap. So I could do, I could have an adult with ADHD who's also a parent who wants both adult ADHD coaching and parent coaching. But basically, straight adult ADHD coaching helps an individual navigate living with ADHD so that their life fits best with who they are. Because coaching closes the gaps between what's important to you and what you're doing so that they align. And so, like, a common challenge areas are procrastination and getting started, taking projects to completion, managing that hyperfocus, which is, you know, really, really heavily focusing on something but it could come, which could be a superpower, but that could come at the expense of doing other things, time awareness, planning. And there are also certain come-froms that people with ADHD kind of can struggle with. So I found that it can be difficult to have boundaries, like say no to people, or have boundaries with your time. So there can be some boundary work that could be important, or people with ADHD can tend to struggle with decision making. So we may work with the decision making, also emotional dysregulation, which according to the even though it's not really in the Bible, the DSM-5, the Bible for diagnoses, it is a tendency for people with ADHD having trouble managing emotions, managing strong emotions. So I just love what Russell Barkley, one of the experts in the field of ADHD, says about ADHD, that people with ADHD know what they need to do, but they have trouble doing what they know. And that's what makes coaching so valuable and so helpful, is that someone with ADHD may want to, for example, take a project to completion. So they know that they need to take that project to completion, but they have trouble with the execution. So that's what makes coaching so powerful for individuals with ADHD, because there's that partnership where I share my expertise on the impact of their ADHD and what they can possibly do about it, how they can possibly take that project to completion, listening for the obstacles that can be getting in the way. Is it boundaries? Is it perfectionism? Is it decision making? While the person being coached is the expert on themselves and their life situation and what could possibly work. And so together we figure out some actions that can help that person move forward and experiment with and use the information that they found out to help them move forward in their lives.
That's huge.
Yeah. It sounds amazing. Sounds like everybody could benefit from some coaching.
You're absolutely right. I mean, actually, to be honest, a lot of us coaches coach each other, just whether we have ADHD or not. And we love, like, the whole process. There's always something that we can coach each other about. And it's really good practice.
Do you feel like there's a big difference between what you work on in an individual coaching session and what you help a parent teach their, you know, work with their child? So when you're coaching a parent and they have ADHD, and then when you kind of turn it a little bit and say, okay, now we're going to talk about how you parent ADHD, is there a big difference between those skill sets?
Yeah, well, it depends on what we're working on. So it could be, like, if we're working on time awareness, then yeah, we can apply those skills to helping that child with their time awareness. But if we're coaching, if we're working on how do I help my child recognize that they have strengths, or how do I help myself so I'm not having such high expectations of my child, because I'm pulling my hair out because they won't brush their teeth, or you know, so it's more behavior oriented, or something about something along those lines. Then it's more about parent coaching, like managing the behaviors and managing myself around those behaviors. So it really depends on what the areas are. Like with parent coaching, I believe that parents are really central to effective management of raising their kids. Their kids really have trouble with self-management, as we know, and self-esteem and accountability. And so parents that are with their kids consistently, and parents need to help their kids recognize that they have strengths. Kids are getting these messages at school and from their peers and quite possibly at home, because parents are just at their wit's end there's a lot of no there. There's a lot of, you know, negative that they're not quite measuring up. And so we need to let our kids know that they do have strengths, that we need to help them identify what motivates them, help them ask for help, that there's no shame in that, and help them believe in themselves. But it's really hard to do that when parents feel like they're out of ideas and nothing seems to work. So with parent coaching, it's more of a combination of training and about ADHD, about parent management and coaching, that helps parents make decisions that work best for them in their unique family situation. And just understanding executive functioning and, instead of, why isn't this working? Like, I wonder why this isn't working. So that's more about what parent coaching is about. Then we have the entrepreneurial coaching. And there are many, many people with ADHD tend to be entrepreneurs because they tend to have a lot of creative ideas, lots of out-of-the-box thinking, very comfortable taking risks and just seizing that opportunity to run a business. And those are all superpowers. But at the same time, it's a lot to manage. There's a lot to have your, multiple demanding schedules, and just your hands are in a lot of different places. And that can be tough for anyone, but especially for the ADHD brain. So managing all the multiple priorities and delegating and all the complex decision making, especially, the impulsive brain wants to, quickly make the decision, but then may, regret later, or the my ruminating brain may have trouble making that decision. And then maybe the decision is made for them because it may be too late by the time they make the decision. They're not happy with that either. So just managing that decision-making piece, regulating attention and focus. So there's just also boundaries, huge, like lots of interruptions. How do we manage our workflow and, all the many meetings that we need to have? So just a lot of pieces in there that can be really, not exactly in line with the ADHD brain. So so starting the business is great and helpful. Just really in line with the ADHD brain, but just managing it all can be a struggle. So that's where the coaching can come in. Then we have young adult coaching. Very similar to ADHD coaching, but the additional piece is that young adults are, suddenly they have, whether they're in school, in college, or just figuring out next steps after high school, they suddenly have more time on their hand and they don't really know how to use it. There's a lot of sort of what we call time blindness with ADHD. Like, it's hard to figure out how to use your time and being aware of how long things take, et cetera. And then there's also that piece of figuring out who they are and what they want in their life, what kinds of experiences they want to have. There have been a lot of opportunities and failures. And how do we figure out based on, it's hard to, there's a lot of fear because they've had failures. So how do we really develop a vision for themselves and figure out what they want out of their lives. That's really hard to do. So, I mean, for that alone, that and it's hard to have a coach.
So Cheryl, I'm curious, so when a client does come to you, whether it be an adult with ADHD, a parent of a student of a child with an ADHD, or a young adult, how do you assess their needs? How do you know where to begin and what they need to work on?
Okay, so I have a session called the ADHD Strategy Assessment Session. And that is a session where we talk about the challenges that are getting in the way, what they're hoping for, what they, made them reach out at this point in time. And after this discussion, I can pretty much hear what they're struggling with, what may seem to be some of the underlying obstacles, like perfectionism or feel of failure, or is it, you know, the executive functioning of piece, what executive functioning pieces are some of the obstacles, like, you know, sequencing or, you know, procrastination, or is it not procrastination, excuse me, I meant like difficulty with action or getting started. What is it that is the, you know, having trouble knowing what to do when and what to do when and in what order, you know, or having trouble managing their emotions, or what exactly is it that, you know, based on that conversation and what we can start with. And we sort of figure out like a high level plan of what we where we're going to go. But we can also, I can also listen for, especially whether, first of all, whether they're ready to put some work into the process. And also if it's somebody like an individual who is calling for someone else, like a parent or someone who's calling for their partner, how ready that, and I always like to speak to the other individual that they're calling for and how ready they are for the coaching. So that in that session, we can determine readiness and the scope. And also some, once in a while, I do just have that session. Like if it's, you know, I can decide, we can decide together, like, is that person, is it enough just to have that session? Like I've had some conversations where we don't need the coaching after that. Like it's enough to just have that conversation and there's no need to go further. So
like you realize there's something else outside of just a ADHD issue. Maybe there's something else that needs to be addressed first or just.
Well, sometimes we can just that. And sometimes we can just decide that the coach that we can have enough of a conversation where we are. Like that conversation is enough. Like we can get somewhere. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So asking those important questions that you talked about before when the person that drove you to look into coaching. So sometimes asking those big questions and getting those answers are enough for an individual, or those questions will lead you to, okay, they have some goals of things they want to work on and they need to work on in order to be more successful in their everyday life. And that's, then you go from there and say, okay, these are their goals. Now we need to work towards achieving those goals, right?
Right, exactly. Like, and what I meant by the, sometimes this session will stand alone and we didn't need to go further is sometimes we'll just have a conversation and we'll realize, you know, that they're, whatever is going on is, you know, they're okay where they are. And we've managed to have, like, I've managed to give them a couple ideas where they realize, you know, we're good. We don't need to go further in the coaching right now. So, you know, we can feel out together whether it's necessary to go further with coaching or whether, you know, we're good where we are.
Do you typically work with individuals like on a weekly basis, or how often do you typically have your sessions?
That also depends on the individual, but usually if we do weekly, after a while we can spread out to every other week. I think the main thing is that we're consistent. So some people like to start off weekly and then with the encouragement that we can go to every other week. my goal is that they won't need me anymore. So we want right. to get to the point where they're going to feel that they can start managing without me and start hearing, you know, some of the things that we've talked about in their own minds and, you know, what are some of the obstacles that can get in my way? How can I have success with this? You know, some of the things that we've worked through together so that they can start feeling that they're ready to be accountable to themselves. And so the idea is to start spreading it out further and further.
So, you know, like we said earlier, we're big fans of coaching. And I think what we love about you is that you offer so many different facets of coaching or different specializations as far as, you know, parent coaching and young adult coaching, entrepreneurial coaching. But the one thing that we really found fascinating that you do is the brain health coaching. And we would love for you to explain to us and to our listeners what exactly that is, because that fascinated us.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, that is my newest program. And it came about because a doctor in the area asked me if I could work with her COVID long hauler patients. And and I realized that many people with neurological challenges, including challenges with ADHD, can experience brain fog, you know, that feeling of like, I'm not clear on what I need to do. I just don't know where to go. I'm ruminating or I'm stuck. But also just not like my memory isn't clear. Problems with sleep, concentration, fatigue. So I a lot of times people come to me and their sleep is, besides their sleep, their exercise isn't up to snuff for the way they want. So it's really focusing more on this physiology side. All the changes that have happened in their lives, especially recently. This is not with job loss or job change. This isn't just happened to COVID long haulers, has also happened to a lot of people. So this is mostly work with memory training, sleep, exercise, gradual lifestyle changes that we can work with, and building new and healthy patterns in those areas. So
when you talk about memory training, what does that look like?
So we work with, as people, as you know, and as other people who are listening may know that, memory is when we're thinking about something to do that we need to do or something that we need to remember. And it's not going, we're trying to hold it in our short-term memory, like we call working memory. Like it's the memory that we're trying to hold on to pieces in our mind and do something with that memory, do something with what we're trying to remember. So we're going into a room and suddenly we forget what we need to do which happens, you know, with ADHD, or we're trying to, we have some very important items like our keys or our wallet, and we have to remember that we have to put them somewhere. So, it's
remembering
really
someone's name, right, when
exactly.
you've been introduced to them.
So some of the things could be like using a crazy image when you're putting the your keys or your wallet down. This is from like an expert. His name is Brad Zupp, but he recommends putting it like putting your keys or wallet on a table and just thinking of it, it's sort of boring a hole into the table. How do we remember to remember that that happens? You know, how do we use that so that it is part of our lifestyle and part of our, you know, pattern? Going to the grocery store, how can we have, you know, a list, and how can we remember to use that list? Or we're just going up to another room. How can we remember three things that we have to just quickly get, like attaching like a silly story to those three things, or silly images, or to a list that we can remember those items, just to, that it, the sillier it is, the better.
Sure. You know, we get a lot of people that ask us too when we're talking about coaching and ADHD, and they'll specifically want to know, you know, memory is an issue for me, and how can I, and you know, remember things, and, mm-hmm. and it can be a variety of things that they're struggling with or a variety of situations. So I love that you have some very specific strategies that are literally just for memory, right? Mm-hmm. Because I feel like when we talk about coaching, we're talking about so many different executive functioning skills. And I don't know that we always think about how to address memory. So mm-hmm. I love that. And I love that it also doesn't just apply to ADHD.
Right. We oftentimes, you know, through our evaluations, when we're assessing individuals, they may have adequate working memory skills. It may be their working memory skills may actually fall well within the average range. But then when you talk to them about using that working memory, accessing that working memory, they are still really, really struggling with that area of executive functioning. So I love that you do give them tools to put in their toolbox, so to speak, that will help with those immediate awesome. Day-to-day memory struggles. So that must be part of coaching. It sounds like that might be part of coaching for everybody, not just the brain health coaching, building up some of those memory skills.
Yes. Yeah. It's just a way of sort of honing in on what are your pains? Like, are your pains like really, let's hone in on, you know, is it memory and like the physiology of what's going on with you? Or is it, you know, like maybe the person doesn't really struggle so much with procrastination or all those other things, but maybe they're really struggling more with their physiology and their, you know, getting their sleep under control. Or it's just trying to zero in on what their pains are so that we can really focus on that. And just trying to address with various people so that they're feeling like they're getting their needs met.
So can we circle back real fast for the parents, the parent training, the parent coaching? Do you feel like you have different, I mean, obviously you're gonna have different strategies, but do you feel like the strategies that you offer can work with kids in first grade all the way to high school as if you were helping me as a parent? Or do you try to, do things look very different at the different ages?
I do believe that the strategies help at all ages. I think it of course depends on, like, if you're trying to think of, you know, for example, just under the umbrella of enabling versus supporting, like how do you pass the ownership? Like, if that's going to be different for, you know, if you have a first grader versus if you have a 15-year-old, and every person, you know, and especially it might be a different kinds of task involved. But the overall concept is the same. If we talk about, you know, the 3 to 5 year, you know, having the 3 to 5 year challenge. So the, you know, expectations that's across the board. Managing expectations is across the board, and not being, you know, focusing on the relationships we have with our kids. That's, you know, not age dependent. I would say that generally speaking, the strategies or sort of concepts that I would work with parents tend to be overall across ages. Like I also try to let parents know that it's okay to let our kids struggle. Like, it's okay that whether it's tying a shoe or, you know, not getting a homework assignment in, we want to help our kids problem solve, but we don't have to jump in and fix it all the time. So that
natural consequences are powerful.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
that's really interesting. So what you say your target audience are adults. What is an adult? Does that mean starting at 18 or starting at 21? What ages do you work with?
Yeah, so I 18, but sometimes I'll get my kid is in high school still. My kid's in high school and they're 18. So it really depends. And they're where that child is. And the reason why I prefer working with adults is because, at least with the kind of ADHD coaching that I do, I like to kind of go deeper and try to get some awareness, like a deeper awareness into what is really going on. It's not just sort of transactional about let's get out our planners and figure out how to schedule this. With coaching, there needs to be, we coach the person and then that helps get to the action, that helps get to the strategy. Okay. And I know that there are definitely coaches out there. I work with children and all the power to them. And just for me, I'm just most comfortable in the working with adults because of that awareness piece. I think that they're more for what I work with. It's just more, I feel more, they're more ready to get to that deeper level of what's really going on for them.
And I think what we like too, is that if we refer someone to you and they're not at an age where they're ready for that, you still can offer the parent support.
Yes.
And I think that is powerful because you're exactly right. There are a lot of high school kids that are not very self-aware. They don't think that there's a problem. So they certainly aren't ready to fix anything, but the parents still need help managing that at home. Sure. And how do you start to help them make them more aware of their issues? So I love the parent part to me is huge until those kids or adults, whatever you call the middle, that middle group, are ready to own it and say, right, okay, now we're ready to really make some changes.
Right. And part of it is, how do we help the parents when the adult isn't ready to work on it? That is a tough spot. And so how do we help the parents manage that and manage them, just their own selves, when they have just a resistant child? And that's really tough. And I work with a lot of parents in that area. Like, how do you just deal with just a kid that just won't own it? So that's a really good spot for coaching, just coaching the parents on that. It's just really how to manage that with their child.
You even mentioned having, sometimes you'll get a call from a partner or a spouse, an observer that is calling on behalf of someone else that's struggling with ADHD. Have you ever seen an adult that is not ready for coaching, that's not self-aware and in touch with their own difficulties and challenges? And what would you do in that instance?
I say to the parent that, I'm happy to work with them, but it would just not, their child isn't ready. There have also been cases where the parent has wanted their child to get coached and the child feels that their life is fine. And there have been cases when, yes, the child's life is fine. The adult child is actually doing pretty well. But the parent just wants more or doesn't think they are. So it's, and I've actually the parent said, will you meet with my child? The child agreed. This was another situation. The adult child, it's hard to, the young man, this was about 6 months ago. I agreed with the young man. Like, he thought that his life was, he was managing his life. So there are definitely situations like that. And then the mom asked, to meet again. And we had a conversation that, I'm happy to work with you if you're having trouble. But your son feels that his life is really okay. And then there's other situations where, the adult is, where their parent is having trouble with the adult child. There's that as well, the coaching of working with adult children that are living at home, that is a very rough situation where they're managing expectations and working around how do we manage financial responsibilities that's really tough because there's a lot of shame in that area on both parties.
Would your parent coaching also then work for a spouse? So if my spouse, who is neurotypical in another world, in another lifetime, wanted help with how to deal with me, right? Or how to better help me manage my things, would you be able then to help the spouse with their spouse?
Yes, as long as it's not like counseling, because that's not right. My area. Because that's where I've drawn lines with people. Like I work with couples around helping each other, but if it gets into the counseling realm, then I recommend.
And I can see where there's a fine line there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because then it's not my domain.
Because coaching is not counseling. It is very different.
Right.
So are your services provided in person or virtually? Or, I mean, what do you typically do as far as meeting with clients?
That's a good question. So all of your questions are good questions. But I've always been virtual, like even before the pandemic. Once in a while, I think when I started, I met a few times with people in person, but now it's just virtual, combination of Zoom and phone. So, that's
okay. It allows you to reach more people and not have to worry about travel times for anybody.
Exactly.
You probably can get a lot more into your day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think people like it too, because, the struggle of having to run to meet someone and be there on time. And it's just another complication that they have to deal with that they'd just rather not. So it's less.
And they feel more comfortable in their own home, probably.
Yeah. And some people do prefer phone too. Like they're not, like, especially a lot of young adults prefer not being on Zoom. But
interesting.
Actually, I think now with the pandemic, there's more comfort level with that, but it's a very mixed. So
do you find that you often refer people for counseling once you start working with them and realize there's some other emotional stuff that needs to be dealt with as well?
I think usually I can find that at the beginning. It's not usually like after four or five sessions. Like usually I can tell if there's something really going on, like if they're seeing are you seeing a therapist? And there have been times when I've asked to see, you know, I think you're probably better off seeing a therapist first and then give me, or at least seeing someone at the same time as me. Because there are plenty of people who I see who also have a therapist, but sometimes I recommend seeing a therapist or getting somebody first before they see me. Because if they can't get out of bed or they're really just struggling with
that. So I know this is kind of a hot topic question or can be sometimes controversial with parents or even clients, but where do you stand with medication? And do you sometimes tell clients that maybe aren't on medication that that's something they might want to pursue? Do you go down that road at all?
Sure. If somebody is feeling like medication has helped them and they're feeling a lot of shame around taking it or like it's not then we definitely talk about it if it's been helpful for them. Like, what is it about the medication that you're concerned about? There are experts out there who feel that an ADHD brain without meds is a recipe for disaster. But I've also seen people who function fine without it. So I don't, you know, have a, you know, kind of a template for people about whether medication is, you know, the best thing for people, because I've seen people without it function fine, and I've seen people with it, you know, not be on the right medication. So the best thing that I try to do is listen for what is tends to be working for people. And if they're on medication, if it's not working for them, then trying to get them to like maybe a different provider so that they can they can really find the best meds and help them figure out like what is it about the meds that they need, that they can look for to see if it's working for them too, like help them gauge like what to look for. In other words, it's not like I'm an anti-med or for med. I just want to listen for what's working for the client and how they, you know, how they're feeling about it and go with that.
I think people appreciate that, because I do feel like people with ADHD often think that we're all just going to say, get on meds, you know, and then that everyone thinks that's the only answer. And we are always very clear to say it's not the only answer. It's an answer, but it's, there are lots of other options. So I think people will appreciate that you're not, you know, that's not your only option.
Absolutely. Right, for sure. That's why like,
and that you can see them through to success without it.
Right. That's, I forgot to mention, with the brain-based coaching thing, why I like to really talk about exercise is because there's a lot of research out there how exercise can be just as beneficial as medication. So if we use it appropriately, like at different times of day, it can really help with focus. There's so much research out there now about that. It's recent, but it's very, it's, you know, it's so exciting, like to, that there's lots of research out there about that. So, you know, the problem is sometimes with ADHD is it's hard to get that into a pattern. So, there's just so many tools out there now that we know about, and there's just no one way. And that's really important for people to understand. And also, you know, there just tends to be this either or thinking that can sometimes happen with not just ADHD, with all of us. And so we want to think about all the options and not just one.
Absolutely. So thank you, first of all, so much for being here with us today. This has been awesome. I mean, I could talk about ADHD and coaching all day because, again, like I said, we're humongous fans.
Very informative.
I know that you had maybe a special offer that you were going to throw out
Us. Thanks for remembering. I have this 5 tools to get and stay motivated with ADHD. So there's bit.ly link. Bit.ly.
We'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah, Bit.ly Motivate My Brain. And it's just all about how motivating with the ADHD brain can be really tough. But we all know that it's neurological. So there's some tips in there to how to motivate yourself or your child.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. Our listeners will appreciate that.
So what's the best way for people to contact you if they want more information about your coaching?
Oh, just to go, you can go to my website, CherylSussman.com.
And all my information in the show notes as well.
Thank you so much. It's just been my pleasure.
Thank you. This has been awesome. We really appreciate all of your expertise and just helping us spread the word about what a great option coaching can be for anybody with ADHD, and that there is help out there for parents as well who might feel like they're in a world by themselves.
Right. Yeah.
So, thank you so much. It's just so great to be with you and to see you in person. And it's great. I just really appreciate this. So
absolutely.
Lovely.
Okay.
Lovely,
so we will have all of your information in the show notes. And, if you guys have any questions, you know how to find us. Let's talk learningdisabilities at gmail.com. Until our next episode, thank you, Cheryl. Have a great day.
Thank you,
everybody. Thanks for our listeners and joining us. Take care and have a great one.
Thank you so much for joining us today. In our show notes, you can find information about today's talk, as well as links to resources and other episodes. If you have questions about today's talk, have ideas for future episodes, or just want to stay connected, you can contact us through Diagnostic Learning Services on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So let's keep talking learning disabilities. This podcast is sponsored by eDiagnostic Learning. You can find more information at www.ediagnosticlearning.com.